And every Thursday during the football season, we get together our pigskin panel with Tim Kalishaw from the Dallas Morning News, sportsdaydfw.com. Around the Horn and the Richardson Hall of Famer. I get it all in there again.
Yes.
Is this uncomfortable for Gordon?
This is extremely rare to have two Richardson High School Hall of Famers. Inaugural class, too.
Inaugural class, the only one that counts.
Yeah.
Have you ever had Ann Rice on or any of the ventriloquists?
I'm trying to
Winston
think.
Winston Duke
no.
or Judy Cryer, wasn't she in the class?
Catherine Cryer. Jeez. Ann Rice.
That's right.
We got ventriloquists coming out of our backside.
How is it that we've had two big ventriloquists come out of our school?
Bill Engvall is probably the most known.
Okay.
Aside from the person sitting to my left.
A lot of talent running through Richardson over the years.
Yeah.
That's
you
not
bet.
As good as the Bishop Dunn Hall of Fame, which is me, Abraham Lincoln.
That's not true.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Neither of them graduated from
like
high school.
We had like five presidents.
I like the fact we had a tennis player, Bill Scanlon, who was pretty good, who beat John McEnroe.
Okay.
He
I
didn't make
him.
It. We made
we
it.
Got still in. Not Tim in. And I were in.
I was the most invisible person at Richardson High School. Nobody at the time knew
and
I went
to confirm
there.
You went
and
there,
now
actually.
I know he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, also joining us this week from the Hardline is our friend Bob Stern. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, musers.
Hi, Bob. Oh,
sounds good.
Well, he does sound good there, doesn't he?
How do we sound? Does
oh,
it
you
sound like
good.
I'm hey now. Calling from heaven?
Now. Yeah, you sound good.
Thank heaven.
Well, maybe let's start here. Since so you guys cool. had upon further review of the upon further review yesterday, which is a good idea. Maybe this week you can do tap the brakes on the e-brake or something like that on Friday.
Ooh, George sounding a little bitter here.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Huh.
Just trying to help your show.
There's the fair catch I'm just saying. No, I think my problem with your problem with upon further review is...
Hold on, I need a flame chart here.
Is that you missed the overall point. My point was the Cowboys, I wasn't trying to say the Cowboys should have run the ball 50% of the time. It was an examination of Zeke's 13 carries.
Right.
And my thing was, I don't think they gave him much of a chance running against 8 and 9 man fronts. I thought the game plan was pretty darn solid. I don't think it was perfect as some are calling it. And everyone's, including Chris Collinsworth, ready to make Kellen Moore a head coach by the end of the season. I'm not so sure he's a great play caller and great offensive coordinator. I could have seen a little more of Zeke, and when we did see him, I think they could have given him a better chance to run. That was my point.
Yeah, and please don't misunderstand. I mean, the general point is that it's your job as a play caller to try to figure out what has the best chance of working. And I just think against Tampa Bay's front, and it might be a defeatist, pessimistic attitude, but they've demonstrated you can't run against them. And then you take out Zach Martin, and it just feels like you're inviting three and outs. And then the bigger point is you've installed an offense that allows your quarterback to basically diagnose at the line and then adjust accordingly. Now, with that, you have to understand every franchise quarterback is always going to opt into more passes because they're quarterbacks. That's just the nature of the beast. But that's kind of the deal. If you want a guy to almost coordinate from behind center, then you have to accept the fact that he's going to check out of a lot of your run looks just because it does
sure.
not look appealing against that defense.
And
right?
as I said yesterday, if I was Dak, I would have checked out of some of the running plays that they did run just because they didn't have numbers
yeah.
there. But that was based on Kellen Moore's formation, which is a whole nother. What do you think of Kellen Moore?
I think he's the
next one?
I thought it was interesting that Kellen Moore was as specific about that. He's usually much more general, but I called 28 runs. He checked out of it 12 times. He's basically giving you the numbers. Look, we were intending to, if we could, run it a little more than we did. You're not going to run it much against Tampa Bay. They were number one against the run last year. What surprises me, if Dak's checking out that much, is Tampa is basically saying, we don't want you to run. And actually, if I'm Tampa, I'd think, please try to run. We'll give you a six-man front. See if you can attack this because they're so good at it. And they were kind of getting killed very slowly by the pass. I mean, he threw for 400 yards. So it's a little weird that he checked out of that many. But I think it does show, like, when they play the Chargers or they play other teams, they're going to run it a little more than they did.
Yeah.
What do you guys think is the right balance, or is that impossible to say because it depends on the opponent, how the game is going? Ideally, do you think, because, like, the last time the Cowboys were really good, they threw it 49% of the time and ran it 51% of the time back in 2016. That's hard to do, maybe, as every year goes by in the NFL and the game keeps changing. But do you think there's a perfect balance?
The only way you ever get back to something like that is by going 13-3 and by being 14 points ahead at halftime in a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
And by having a rookie quarterback you're trying to protect, who you think, well, this guy's pretty good, but let's not overdo it. We got this guy's, the other guy's going to win the rushing title. So it's never going to be 50-50 here, and I doubt that it would even get to 55-45. That would be, in today's game, that would be extreme run heavy. I would think if you're a good team and you get to about 60 pass, 40 run, that's probably, Bob probably knows this off the top of his head, that's probably about where the 49ers got 2 years ago when they were in the Super Bowl.
So I do have some of these.
They run it a fair amount.
I do have some of these numbers. For example, McVay's Rams last year were 55-45 pass to run. Peyton's Saints 53-47 pass to run.
That's more run than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That surprised us too. Peyton, McVay, these guys that are considered the best offensive minds, they're more usually pretty consistently year in, year out, 55-45.
But Breeze couldn't throw it more than 7 yards last year, yeah, so that was part of the deal.
That's true.
Yeah, and McVay didn't trust his quarterback last year.
Right.
And so I think that's a bit revealing. But, you know, the way the new offenses work, I just think there's so much gray area, so many RPOs in the game where you're post-snap, you're reading a guy, and then you are attacking accordingly. So it's not just this real, you know, A-B pass-run sort of thing that we grew up on. And so, you know, the attacking and the idea of a balanced offense is just simply to make the defense, you know, account for everything. And if you're doing that, to me, it doesn't matter if it's a 3-to-1 ratio. Because ultimately, the average pass in the NFL goes 7 yards down the field, or it gains 7 yards, and the average run is right around 4. And so you should, in today's game, you should be trying to attack horizontally and vertically to maximize your outputs far more than just trying to balance a play sheet, I think.
No doubt. And as I mentioned yesterday, they hit a field goal, an extra point, and throw one more block, they win the game. Regardless of how many times they're running or passing, very close game and a really good performance out of the Cowboys all the way around in week one. But since then, Lyle Collins is gone. Now DeMarcus Lawrence has a broken foot. Randy Gregory trying to get back in the field by Sunday. Bob, do you feel like we're going down that road again, the injury bug, and what can go wrong next?
It's an ominous sky. Let's just say that the clouds don't look great right now, George. And maybe a brave face can help get through this. But yes, the fact that they can't get through a Wednesday without bad news happening like it did yesterday, that's very reminiscent of year one of Mike McCarthy. So good times.
Or the defense without DeMarcus Lawrence. That's just not a pretty picture, is it?
I'm going to try to say this every week on this show. As you know, my first column in Oxnard was on their lack of defensive tackles.
I remember that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, they were going to try to adjust that with having good defensive ends. And now the defensive ends are gone. That is going to be very interesting against a guy who threw for over 300 yards against what we're pretty sure is a really good front seven.
Maybe the best front four, anyway.
Certainly was last year and has no reason to not be really good. So if they can't get after him at all, I don't remember a week where things, you know, Gallup's injury happened in the game and that news kind of came out of the game, but the other stuff happening in practice or a suspension, this is about as bad a week as the Cowboys have had in that regard.
Bob, you mentioned year one for Mike McCarthy. So in game one of year two, there were a couple of times when, as he sold himself to Jerry to get the job, he's more of an analytics guy, and the barn changed the way that he coaches. But I felt like there were moments again where he was trying to get in the way of this team winning, and he went against the analytics, attempting the long field goal before the end of the half, attempting a field goal on fourth and three when the analytics said that that's a strong go for it on fourth down. What do you guys think? Is McCarthy really a changed head coach, Tim, or is he the same coach?
I think he's mostly the same. I think he, to some degree, acknowledged there was a level of BS in his opening press conference when he said, I didn't really watch all those plays. I just wanted his job. I'm sure he's thought about things. And everybody, you know, like John Harbaugh, he's presumed to be really changed in a total analytics guys. I'm sure all of them think about it some. I didn't think, and I was hard on McCarthy last year, I didn't think he did anything really bad in this game, and some people wanted him to ice the kicker, which I think icing the kicker is stupid. I actually thought Bruce Arians was worse in the last 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Didn't hurt him, but I don't know how many coaches would have done it. I would have declined that penalty when the Cowboys had the ball.
Yes.
Because they just went out of bounds for you. They just gave you a free timeout on third down.
Yep.
And he took the penalty to get 10 yards, and he's playing a soft defense. The Cowboys are going to get some yards back, so they're going to still have about the same percentage chance field goal, but now you're going to burn the timeout.
Right.
And then he ended up losing the other timeout, which was probably another mistake, on the 10-second runoff. I think if you're throwing the ball in the middle of the field, it usually takes, 12 to 14 seconds to line up. That one was not that big a deal, but I thought Arians was off at the end of the game, and he lived to tell about it.
Bob, has McCarthy really changed?
Well, I don't know that he needs to be, based on the fact that in Green Bay he went for it on fourth down pretty much as anybody. And so if we feel like that's where the game is moving, that fourth down is another opportunity, then I would absolutely say that he needs to be ripped for the field goal early in the third quarter, right after Zeke didn't get to the pylon. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you need to say this was four down territory, so that's our third, and now let's call our best play and get this in the end zone, because we can't be trading 7-for-3 with Tom Brady.
Right.
And that, to me, is the entire reason they lost that game, was just red zone execution. Tom Brady gets it in the end zone, and Dak Prescott and the Cowboys and Kellen Moore did not. So you can't kick a 21-yard field goal. That's my problem. I have no problem with trying a 60-yard field goal before halftime. I do not understand why everybody freaked out. The odds of the Buccaneers making you pay for that were very slight. I know we're all fatalistic about the worst-case scenario, but that was trying to find, pennies in the couch cushions, because it's 4th and 31 right there. I mean, what do you want him to do?
And Zuerlein was money that night, so.
Well, no, but he does have a career of a Thunder leg, right? I mean, are we?
Yeah, I think they knew by that point. By that point there wasn't much Thunder in it,
right?
No, there wasn't. So my biggest issue strategically was just that short field goal. I thought he had to do what he had to do at the end of the game, even though it sucks. I think if you're down two and you go for it on 4th and 6 and you don't make it, people are going to be freaking out that you didn't try to take a lead against Tom Brady. But you knew once they took the 1-point lead, they were probably screwed.
And that's where the numbers, I think, always, this is where the rubber hits the road and all that is, okay, I agree. Taking the 21-yard field goal, especially against Tom Brady, presented like that, try to get your touchdown, maybe take some chances, go for it on fourth down. But that third down play that lost the yard, maybe that was their play. Like, this is a walk-in touchdown. Watch this. Mm-hmm. And when that goes back a yard, I don't know if it's human nature that takes over for the sheath that you're looking at and just thinks, God, we can't come away here with nothing. I just think that's why you make money as a head coach, I guess, that how do you take reality versus what the numbers say?
Yeah, I think once third down didn't work, I didn't really – I know you want to try to get touchdowns down there. I think the thing that was more troubling was on the last drive, and I don't know how much time was left, about 2 minutes, when CeeDee Lamb made the big third down catch, and they got from their own – roughly their own 40 to the other 40. You know, they went about 20-some yards. They seemed to settle into – and this – I thought Garrett did this a lot – okay, we're almost in field goal territory. Let's settle down. Let's get the field goal. Knowing, hey, the Bucs may have two timeouts left. Brady's going to go get a field goal. You need more than it because you're a point. There's a point, you need try to get the touchdown. And I thought they got real soft after Lamb's catch.
The only context I would add there, though, Tim, is that offensive line was out of gas. And I don't know if that's because of, what, 80 plays or what, but Vita Vea was not being blocked without being held. And even Tyron held on JPP. I totally think you're right.
Right.
I also think that, those two holding penalties on that final drive, they almost overcame them both. That's crazy to you know, just the pass protection, especially up the middle with Connor and Biadasz, Connor Williams and Biadasz, was just almost comical the way Vita Vea was throwing those guys back into Prescott. So that stinks. But the bigger issue would probably be that you replaced the most conservative coach on the planet, who was here for a decade, with a coach who is more than happy to gamble on a regular basis. And we're seeing that. And more than anything, it's a shock to the system, everybody who follows Cowboys football. It's almost the same with the special team situation. Garrett called 2 fake kicks in 10 years. Bones has rolled out 4 fake kicks in his first season here.
Yeah, that
he did 2.5, didn't he?
That's not necessarily a good thing.
No, especially when they don't work. But that's the nature of today's NFL, where you're trying to understand, we're going to need 30 points to win a lot of these NFL games, so we can't be risk averse, is basically the point. Now, you can go too far the other direction, which they already have.
Well, they may need 40 points this week. Let's talk about the matchup with the Chargers as our Pigskin panel continues in just 4 minutes.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.